Log Talk Radio.
Now you can look the word up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friend. And if you ask me, you know I couldn't be much help, because a friend's somebody you judge for yourself. Some are okay and they treat you real cool, and some are taking kindness for being a fool. We like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money. Some you grew up with around the way, and you're still real close to this very day. Homeboy through the summer, winter, spring and fall, and then the summer which we never knew at all. And this list goes on again and again, but these are the people that we call friends. When we first went out together, we barely knew each other. We had no intentions on becoming lovers, but in no time at all, you became my girl. Me and you, one-on-one, against the world. Talking on the telephone for hours at a time, and else I was at your house, and you was at mine. And then came the arguments and all kinds of problems. Besides making love, we had nothing in common. It couldn't last longer, cause we started out strong, but I guess we went about the whole thing wrong. Cause out of nowhere, it just came to an end, because we became lovers before we were friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, what does it depend on? Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
And the girlfriend were so tight. You took her out with you and your guy one night. You even had a set of keys to your home, and you shared mostly everything you own. But as she shook your hand, she stole your man, and it was done so sweet, it had to be a plan. Couldn't trust her with cheese, let alone your keys. But friends like that, you don't need enemies. You wonder how long it was all going on, and you're still not sure if your glad is gone. You say, well, if she took him, he was never mine. But deep inside, you know that's just another lie. And now you're kind of cold towards people you meet, cause it's something that was done to you by some creep. But nevertheless, I'll say it again, that these are the people that we call friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
I want to make sure it's not another song. I think we're good. We're going to kick it off there, Ms. Sabo. Do all right, all right, all right.
He's moving his car. Hold on. Give him 1 second.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Hey, we wanted to now go ahead and start getting to that and welcome everybody to another edition of Blog Talk Radio. I'm Priest Bonabod. And with me, we have the class in Albuquerque, man, the brothers there. So I don't want to make this up more of a radio show, but I want this to I want to make this a class. I want to bring a lot of scriptures out, and I'm contributing this one to some of the conversation I had with Abaja. Was like last week, I think, on the phone, and it was a good conversation because we were talking about a scripture that he had read in 2 Ezra, I think. It was like chapter 6, I think it was. We're not going to start there, but I do want to start and kind of end there with that chapter, because the chapter talks about the end times, right? The chapter is about the end times. That's what the chapter is about when I went and read it, if Abad just sitting there in the room, right? The chapter has something to do with more, well, those chapters, the 2 Ezra 6, 7, 8, even to 9, they talk about the things happening towards the last days. And the reason I liked it, because it pointed out something that the Father was saying to us, was trying to show that was going to be happening as he was coming. And one of the things was, it was about friendships and relationships, how they would turn against each other, things like that. But this was signs that we were coming to those, and we were coming to those latter days where Christ, the Most High, was drawing near, is what the chapter talked about. So we'll start there, man. We'll go to that real quick. Let me get it for y'all. Wait 1 second. I think it's 2 Ezra in the Apocrypha, chapter. Hold on, y'all. There it is. 2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse.
Is it over to read?
2 Ezra chapter.
Yeah, sorry, you read, because your voice sounds the most clearest right there in the with the phone next to you.
Fine.
You're going to start 2 Ezra chapter 6, and you're going to read verse 18 is what we want to start at, right?
Fine, let me write that down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He shouted you out earlier. He wasn't here for that, but yeah. He's calling you out there. He's calling you out.
Is that Abadja?
Yeah, Abadja just came in.
Okay. We're gonna read 2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse 18, because it's showing you what time frame this was. And this is a prophecy. It's a future prophecy. But it was one thing that now, as we look at the future prophecies that the Most High said was going to happen, what we're going to read about was the one prophecy that the Most High said was going to let us know that this was coming, this was in the time where, this is in the time where the end was going to now start to present itself. And we start to know small signs that the Most High was coming. It was on his way back. So read that real quick, Char. First, 2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse 18.
2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse 18. And it is said, behold, the days come that I will begin to draw nigh and to visit them that dwell upon the earth.
So you understand, this was a future prophecy, right? He says, if you read this whole chapter, the beginning of it, this was all about those prophecies of the end times, and then the time where Christ or the Most High was coming back to visit the earth now, come back from judgment to whatever. These were all of those signs that's going to let us know that we're in that time, right? Go ahead.
and will begin to make inquisition of them. And will begin to make inquisition of them. What they be that have hurt unjustly with their unrighteousness. And when the affliction of Zion shall be fulfilled.
So the Most High is going to bring judgment. Zion, right? He said, but that affliction of Israel, it's our time is up. But these are all the things that will let us know that Christ and the Most High are coming back to now bring judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are all the signs that were going to be happening to let know this day, the days are coming. These days are coming. This is how we know that these days are coming, because certain signs are being shown to let us know, hey, Christ is on his way back. The Most High is coming back. Now jump down to verse 22 or 20, what did I say? 24. That's the one I wanted to go to.
Verse 24. Time shall friends fight one against another like enemies, and the earth shall stand in fear.
So it says that time friends shall fight like enemies, one against another. Friends shall fight one against another like enemies.
Like enemies.
Right? So when you start looking at relationships and the things, the way these spirits are turning people against each other, you look at it now, you can say, well, it's not personal. It's prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are supposed to let us know. But why? My question is this. I'm going to finish reading this. Why would that be a sign? Why would that be important? Why would that be something? Why would the Most High use that? Why would relationships be so important to the Most High? And the answer is, this truth was built on that. From the beginning, the second greatest commandment was to what? What was the second greatest commandment? Does anybody know? It's just, so the second greatest commandment, love the Most High with all thy heart, all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself, right? So those relationships to the Father were important. It was what this was built on. The law is built on how we treat one another, how we honor the Father, how we deal with each other. It was all built around that. So for that to be a sign is let us know, man, this is, was used for a sign, because this is one thing that naturally is an odd thing. Because the one thing the Most I looked at all, you look to all throughout the Bible, and you look from David and Jonathan, you read about Christ and the apostles, you read about strong bonds and strong relationships. You listen to Elijah. You know what I'm saying? You read about these relationships where, man, they were bonded. They had friendships. Even to the point you read about Christ and Lazarus, how he felt about Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend. So my point that I'm making is, as we're going to go through the class, as you start watching these things happen, the Most I started to show one thing too. We're coming into those end times where it's like, hey, there's signs that are starting to come, starting to happen that we're supposed to be looking at and saying, this is what I'm supposed to fight. I'm supposed to fight to come out of the world. And not having those bonds and friendships and relationships are something that is worldly. It's a worldly thing to operate alone. It's a worldly thing to, it just made about you, your family, your success. And you look at now, the one thing that that society is built on right now is social media. But with social media, 90% of people on social media are just alone. It's just you and your phone. Even in the home, everybody can be in the house, but you can have the woman, the mother, she's on her phone. The father's on the phone. The kids on video games, or they're on their phones. Everybody, we together, but we're not together, right? You look at it in the house now. You look at everybody, and everybody goes to a device more than they speak to each other. more than they do, they operate with one another. And it's become a common thing. Even in a car when you're driving, when you ain't supposed to be on your phone, when you're reading and you're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, everything else while you're driving, and you look over in the next car, the next person's doing the same thing. They're looking at their phone, looking at videos, looking at different things while they're driving. But we spend more time and go alone in a phone than we do talking and operating and unifying and getting the and enjoying each other's company. But we're looking at this, and I'm going back and I'm saying, man, this was one of those prophecies. The Most High said, the end times, it was going to be like that. Friends would fight, right? Read that again, Sean. Friends would do what?
At the end times, friends shall, at that time shall friends fight one against another like enemies.
Okay. Go ahead.
And the earth shall stand in fear with
man,
those that dwell therein.
But we in fear of each other. Isn't COVID, we got to stand 6 feet from each other. You know what I'm saying? You locked in your home. You got weapons in your home getting ready for the next person to walk through your door. Because you don't know who walk up through your door. You got people afraid to walk down the street. If you're black, you're afraid of getting put over by a cop. We live in a time where people live and function, operate with a lot of fear. Go ahead.
Sorry. In fear, with those that dwell therein, the springs of the fountain shall stand still, and in 3 hours they shall not run.
Go ahead.
Verse 25, whosoever remaineth from all these that I have told thee shall escape and see my salvation and the end of the world.
So you got to look at it. But the most sense of the things I'm explaining to you, damn, so if I can escape and remain, right, from all these, that means we were supposed to work to overcome what? Keeping our friendships together, keeping our bonds together, right? Because the friendship was something that he, as we're reading, the friendship was something that was important to the Father. How do I know that friendship is important to the Father?
Cut out for a second.
What happened? Shark, can y'all hear me? Hello?
For a second. Are you still cut out?
Can you hear me now?
Hold on. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. All right, I think you're good now.
Okay, perfect. The question I was asking, how do we know that friendships are important to the Father and that those relationships that we build with each other, the Most High, by keeping those things, the Father said, man, this is how you have to escape. You're going to be saved because you escaped that. You didn't allow the craziness, the wickedness of this world to stop people from bonding with each other, being there for each other. The same working together, looking out for one another, loving each other. That is going to be attacked, and that's something that we have to escape if we're going to make it to the end, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want y'all to go here. Go to Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 25, real fast, all right? Another brother can get it. If you get it, you can just move up where the mic is and read it if you want to, all right?
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes chapter 25 and verse 1. And three things. Am I being heard?
Yes.
In three things I was beautified and stood up beautiful both before God and men. The unity of brethren, the love of neighbor.
The key words. I don't mean to cut you off about you, but the key words. Can y'all hear me?
Come on.
Yep.
the key word in this was it stands up beautiful to who?
The Most High.
Right, the Most High and the men. But the catch is, this is something that was beautiful to the Father. This is why if I can escape and I can keep looking beautiful in the Father's eyes, I'm going to be saved. I'll be saved because I learned the key things that made me look beautiful in the Father's eyes. But what's beautiful? Read it.
The unity of brethren.
Uh-huh.
The love of neighbors.
Go ahead.
A man and a wife that agree together.
So the first thing he said, man, he said the unity of brethren. That means being there for one another. We're together. We think the same. We got each other's back, man. We enjoy each other's company. See, what you guys are building on, I'm going this route because I see every day, that's the one thing I've watched between you four in particular, and that's why I'm teaching. I've watched you guys fight for y'all's unity. And I've watched all these spirits try to attack it. Not people, because the Most High said we wrestle not against what?
Flesh and blood.
We wrestle against principalities. So there are different spirits out here in different environments, different mindsets, you know, different people you guys are trying to bring into this brotherhood. And the more you fight to bring these guys, not guys, but these people around, and to your brotherhood, they don't respect. They're not looking to unify with it. They're looking for to get this individual to follow them and get this over here to follow me. Make this supposed to be what's important. Crazy thing is, everything, and I've watched, I think we've been in that house for the last, almost 2 years now, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But for the year that we've been there together, everything has been more important than y'all's unity. The thing that the Most High looks at as beautiful, everything else has been more important. And as everybody else and everything else that has been put, that people have tried to put the priority over joining the brotherhood, being a part of the unity, the Most High has made everything that they've given themselves to crumble. Because everything that they're giving themselves to, the Father's looking at him and saying, "Hey, you know what? That's not beautiful to me.
Right.
I'm giving you the thing that's beautiful to me. The unity of brothers, the love of neighbors. I mean, we can love one another as a family. My family have love for your family. If we all Israel, all the neighbors is your Israelites. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, you got to love your neighbor. That's another nation because you moved on this block. That's not the Most I was talking about. Because when this was given, your neighbor was your own people. And we lived amongst your own people. So in that, if this the man that is in the room across the hall from me, if this the family that's living up the street, the Most I love, he said, well, I find beautiful when these families can love each other. With his neighborhood and these neighbors, they can now love each other. And then third, he said, a man and a woman that can agree together. And look, if we ain't in agreement, they ain't nothing beautiful to the Father. We're not in agreement. The Most High looked at him and said, that's not beautiful. I got an op against my brother or against my neighbor. The Most High said, that's not beautiful. We're not unified. We're not together. That's not beautiful to the Father. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now go ahead. Hold on. While you don't keep reading.
I want to ask him if I could. Only if
you
want to
ask?
No, I want to ask him if it's appropriate. This is right on point.
I'm not trying to add the scripture. Okay. Where get the microphone.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I
want to add an important point that I think we kind of skipped over that's really on point.
Text
I'm going to read that scripture.
Wait, text it to me because I want to go through the list.
Oh, okay, go ahead, sir. Don't worry about it. It's not that important.
Okay.
I'll text it to you. Don't worry about it.
Text it to me. All right. That way I can see where it fits in, and I can we'll bring it out. We'll bring it out. Okay.
In the verbs.
Text it to him. That way he'll read it.
Text it to me.
Yeah. Shoot, it's kind of hard to do that. I'd have to bold, send the whole scripture and bold it in the word sheet. Okay, I'll just do that.
Continue,
sir. Yeah, I want you to go here now, right? I want you to jump down to this verse now, right? Hold on, let me find it. The scripture I was supposed to go to. All right, don't worry about that one. Let's go here first, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's go here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. No, Leviticus first, right? Leviticus 19 and 8. We're going to go to the law a little bit. Because the reason I went to the plague first, the abajib, that we pulled out, I built it off of this. But I went there for one reason. Because there's a purpose for that to be a plague. The Most High saying, man, hey, you know what? As that plague, if you see this going on, man, if you fight harder to be unified, if you fight harder to be together, understanding that this is what Satan wants. Satan wants y'all to pull apart. Satan wants y'all to be like, okay, now we're not together anymore. He said this, and then now we don't talk no more. Now we ain't together no more. If I can isolate you to be alone, you know how much stronger wickedness is when we're alone rather than our power being together?
When we're together.
When we're together, we're untouchable when we're together. The only thing that destroys Israel is when they're divided. Whenever they divide and they're alone, the scripture says, woe unto him who is alone. He said, because when he falls, he have no one to help him up. The word woe means destruction. So I'm going that route because if you guys have stumbled on to understanding, man, you know what? We have survived everything that's been thrown at us. Why? Because we've been together. Everything the same trying to throw, as long as we're together, we survived and we've taken care of one another. And that's the Most I wanted you guys to learn. That your power is in the fact that we can stay unified, that we're together, because that's the thing that Most I say he loves. One second, hold on. Let me read this real quick. Hold on a second, bro. Oh, no, I'm not. We stressed the part where it said that It was beautiful before God and man. That's the whole point to it. The point is that because it's so beautiful to the Father, it was something the Father put in to say, man, if we don't do this, if we don't stay unified, if we don't stay friends, if those relationships don't stay there, he's saying, damn, I'm not going to, these are one of the things I was going to use to save you. These are one of the conditions that if you did this, this is where salvation was going to come to you because you kept the relationships, because you kept the friendships, because you didn't, because you fought to be that, because that was one thing that was in the law. That was what was expected of us, and that's why I was going to the law, because this in the law, the Most High was showing us how important that was to him. That's why I put it in the law, and then I'll go back and read Ecclesiastes again. You know what I'm saying? Or not Ecclesiastes, but Second Ezra. But you're right on point. That was the what you boldly put, the bold, and the bold in your print, That was the focus. It's always been about pleasing the Father and something that was important to him. And because it's important to him, we now, if I'm going to be saved, I got to make what's important to the Father my priority so that I can be saved out of the damn hell that we're going to go through, or that this world is going through, or even when Christ does come back and visit. We can be saved now because we fought to do the things that truly please and brought love to the Father.
Hello, hear us? Do you hear us?
I can. I Char's phone went off.
Yeah. We got disconnected.
Okay, I got you guys. We'll put it on your phone about you. Keep it on your phone.
Yeah, that's why I called.
Perfect. Because I'm still. We're still on Blog Talk. So, go real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 22, right?
Matthew chapter 22. Actually, no. We were going to go to Leviticus 19 and 8.
There you go. 18. 19 is 19 and 8 or 19 and 18?
Because
I'm looking right now. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse. Let me just read it.
I think you meant 18 because it was talking about thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge.
There you go. Beautiful.
Okay, yeah. So it was 18.
18.
All righty. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. How's my audio?
Read that.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people.
Brother, read 17 and 18. Read 17 and 18 together.
Roger, Dodger. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him.
He said, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. What does the word rebuke mean?
What was that? Reject? What was that? Anybody know? Rebuke, to argue?
Anybody got a dictionary?
I got a dictionary. Let me look it up.
Look that up. It says thou shalt not rebuke thy neighbor and not thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. It's thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him, right? So what's rebuke? It doesn't say thou shalt not. It says thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. So the word rebuke means to what?
Hold on. Try Merriam-Webster.
To check or restrain, to punish.
To punish? What else rebuke mean?
To afflict for correction.
So rebuking will be corrected, right?
Go on.
So it says, thou shalt in any wise, not thou shalt not. It says, thou shalt. That means you're supposed to. In any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. What does it mean to not suffer sin?
To not
go down with him?
Force it on him?
Or not to hold it against him.
Right.
I'm not going to suffer sin. I'm supposed to rebuke you, but I'm not supposed to do what now?
Hold it against
you. I'm not supposed to hold it against you. I corrected you. Now let it go.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're supposed to correct. If something's happening, or my brother did something wrong, I'm supposed to tell him. But then after I tell him, I'm not gonna label him that way. No, I can't. That's not how I'm gonna look at him the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying?
You're supposed to take,
that's
it,
not
take,
how I'm
take
going.
It personally.
Right. I corrected, but I'm not gonna take the correction. I corrected you because you're my brother or you're my neighbor. But I'm not taking it personally. I'm not making it personal. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. I can't, in my mind, I can't develop hatred for this person. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. I'm not supposed to take it personal. I'm not labeling him like that now. I'm helping him get better. Verse 18.
Verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
He said, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. The same way you give yourself, the same way you pick yourself up and keep going, you're supposed to do that for your neighbor, your brother, right?
Right.
The same way you learn to, okay, you know, okay, I made a mistake, but, you know, I'm going to get past that. I'm going to now better do better with myself. I failed, but I'm going to get back up. The most I'm looking for you to do it to who? Your brother, your neighbor. You're supposed to do that the same thing now. You don't do yourself like, well, now I ain't talking to me no more, right? Or you don't judge yourself jacked up. You just, okay, you know what? Fine, I made a mistake there. I did that. But I'm going to now put myself together. I'm going to go get up off my feet, go and do the things right. Okay, man, hey, it's just like giving yourself that pep talk, right?
Right.
We all give ourselves that pep talk. Okay, man, you ate something bad. You messed up. Okay, you know what? Tomorrow, man, I'm going to get this shit right. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get back on my diet. Or I drank too much, man. I just was damn a fool. I don't say, you know what, I'm just jacked up because I drank. No, I'm going to change that. I'm not going to drink no more because I know how this affects me. But if I can give myself the benefit of the doubt, I can also do it to who?
To your brother.
Your brother, your neighbor, that was the most I was looking at. That's the love we got to show for one another. The same consideration that I would give myself, I got to give it to the next person. I got to give it to my neighbor. I got to give it to my brother. That is the expectation of the Most High. Read on. What verse you at? Was that the end of 18?
No, I was halfway through.
Read 18 again.
Leviticus 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
So this is the law, and this is what's beautiful to the Father. That's what we're going through. Everything that we read, we're going to keep reading what the Father holds and looks at as beautiful to him. So when I'm doing this to my brother, I'm understanding, man, by me being this way, this is the beauty that I'm showing the Father. I'm standing beautiful in the eyes of the Father. You understand?
God.
Read Matthew chapter 22 now, right? Matthew 22, and you're going to read verse, 36? Everything about our class today is about what's beautiful to the Father. And then the thing that's beautiful to the Father will also stand beautiful in the eyes of the Most High. Y'all understand?
Come.
Let's get it. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36.
Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. I'm going to write that down.
Yep. If I can get other readers, I'll take them.
Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment in the law? Yahushua said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.
Read on.
And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
That means the second is just as important as the first. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Verse 40.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
He said, we hang all the law on this. That means it's beautiful to the Father. The whole book, everything we're reading is based around relationships, because they're that important to the Father. Friendships, that's why they're in the Bible, because they're examples showing us how important they were to the Father, even to the plague. One of the plagues that we have to overcome. Is that me?
Yeah.
Okay, somebody else's phone? Who's that?
Hey, is there?
That was there.
Well, you're sitting at that rate.
Yeah, because I'm offending at this point. I got the pork right. I got the High Holy Days right. I got all that right. But I'm offending in this point.
So it wipes all the rest of that out.
Exactly. You kill all the work that you're doing for the Most High.
What's that scripture? It's like little sin destroys much good or something like that.
Yep, there you go, man.
I can't quote it right, but that's most of what I'm going for here.
It says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
There you go.
By the way, can I bring you one scripture?
Please, sir.
I'll read this myself. It's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. And if it's wrong, let me know. But a Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17 says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searches him." The reason this scripture stood out to me, if you are always first in everybody's mind, they seem just in what they're doing. Like in the scripture you're bringing out, I don't eat pork, I don't eat shrimp, I keep the Sabbath. I wear fringes. They do all that, but yet they constantly offending their neighbors. But it says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just." You can't tell this dude nothing, because to him, he's doing everything right. But the scripture says, "But his neighbor cometh and searches them out." But your neighbors will come and say, "How you ain't nobody's friend."
Yeah, man. Or you're offending you, or you did this wrong.
Con.
This person is justified. Talk, please.
But this person is feeling justified because I wear fringes, because I keep the Sabbath. I have a Hebrew name. So I'm just, and you're wrong. But the scripture says, but it's your neighbor that's going to judge you.
Right.
What kind of relationship do you have with your neighbor if the whole law is love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself? That's the whole law. If I can read one more verse in the same chapter, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." Why is the Most High putting all this together in one chapter, in one verse away? Because that dude that's just, he's first in his own cause. It's all about him and nobody else, because he's just, because I keep the law, because I give scripture, because I keep the Sabbath, because I wear fringes, because I do this. But you're offending your brother. But you offend people.
Wow.
It says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. How hard is it to break into a castle?
You can't get out. You locked in. That's
Or you're not getting in.
Son.
So you can try and justify and talk all you want to talk. But the fact of the matter is, you keep offending people because you seem just, because you wear fringes. You seem just because you keep the Sabbath, but you're steadily offending people. But in your mind, if you could just talk long enough for them to see that the way you're doing it is right, that if they would just shut up, if they would be quiet and let you talk, they could see how they're wrong and you're right.
God, that's it, but man.
You're steadily offending people.
Yep.
I'm going to jump to verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. You God. Either kill people by how you talk to them or treat them, or you can give them life in how you talk to them and treat them. And whichever
yep.
one you
that's
love,
it.
That's what you're going to eat thereof. So if you keep getting people that keep getting offended and there's no talk you can do to win them, you keep wanting to justify, I keep the Sabbath. I don't eat pork. And you keep running down this list of everything you keep doing that's right, but nobody can tell you how you're offended, you're wrong.
That's bad.
I'm going to read verse 24 now. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a friend that's thinking closer than a neighbor. I don't know if you had that in your class, if I'm jumping the gun.
I sure do. No. It's on hit. It's perfect. It's on perfect because you just help us out. But you just help give even a greater understanding to, it says, but if you have respect to persons, you can even have more respect for your ideas, your thoughts, your what you feel is right. It's like, I didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? It was about, I listen to what I say, but don't have to consider anybody else's feelings, how I affected this person. If I offended that person, because the only person that I respect is me.
God.
So this helps bring a lot more clarity to it. Be why the Most High call it sin?
Yeah, a person could say, because I keep the law, because I do this, that I'm in the right, but everybody else is in the wrong. I'm following Christ, but this is what the scripture says, right? If I can read two scriptures real quick, and I'll hand it back over. And I'm gonna go see the apocrypha first, and I promise you, I'm gonna give it back. In the apocrypha, Ecclesiastes chapter 13 verse 20, Ecclesiasticus. Chapter 13 and verse 20. Now I'll read it. It says, as the proud hate humility, so doth the rich abhor the poor. So it tells you, somebody who's proud, they can't stand to be humble. They're going to fight and argue and because they are proud, and they're not going to be told they're wrong. And they're going to find every excuse to justify why they're right, because I keep the law. I wear fringes. I keep the Sabbath. I don't eat pork. So I'm right, and this person is wrong. So as the proud hates humility, it says, so does the rich abhor the poor. This is the scriptures. Rich people abhor poor people. Now, when a person is trying to justify themselves, I'm just following Christ, and they're off because I'm following Christ, because I keep the Sabbath, because I wear fringes, because I do this, that, whatever. Now I'm going to go to Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. And it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, we look up what a publican is. A publican was a Jewish tax collector who was responsible for the construction of buildings inside of Jerusalem. So they were rich. How is it that Christ was able to be a friend of publicans and sinners, able to win them, but here this person is steadily offending people more and more, but wants to say, I keep the law, I do this right, I do that right, they're off. I'm just following Yahweh Shai. I'm just following Christ. Bullshit. How are you following Christ when Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners? And again, he already gave us the key. How is Christ a friend of publicans and sinners? He doesn't have friends, must show himself friendly.
They're friends, right.
You can't be justified because I keep the Sabbath, because I wear fringes, because I keep the high holidays, I'm right, and they're just offended. No, that because I'm following Christ. If you were following Christ, you would be winning people. You would show yourself friendly towards your neighbor the way Christ did. Verse 35 says, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And it says, a wise man winneth souls. So if you're really using the wisdom of Christ in the Most High, why are you not winning people? Why are more and more people getting offended? As a person keeps trying to justify, I keep the Sabbath. I don't eat pork. I wear fringes. So it's not on me, it's on them. You're not keeping the two basic royal commandments. Let them aside with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. The same way you can justify yourself being right, then why are you not justifying the next man for being right also?
There you go, and that's it. That's the key.
You can't be wrong.
That's it.
Why is it that it's prove a point that you're right and they're wrong, and you're looking for blood from them?
You're quick to give yourself the benefit of the doubt, but you won't give him the benefit of the doubt.
Time.
You know what I'm saying? You'll be quick to try to figure out how to repair you, but you won't even figure out, I won't even listen to the offense so that I can even repair it, because I don't think I did anything wrong. But that's
time.
90%, that's 90, I'm going to say 90% of all Israelites keep coming in contact with. Reason relationships broke off, reason relationships stopped, reason this person don't like me, is because I had this idea and thought that I was right, I was on point, and I'm living right now as the Most High following the Bible. I'm following the Most High. This just have a problem with me following the Most High. He just don't like. He don't want to follow the Most High. So. To hell with him, rather than it being, hey, you know what? Well, maybe what I did was offend him, because obviously he's not friendly now. So I didn't show myself friendly, but even in that, sometimes we'll think we are showing ourselves friendly. I'm friendly, but I won't know what friendly is until I have till the reaction. If I'm showing myself friendly, I'll have friends. So if I don't have any friends, why is that? Because I'm not truly showing myself friendly. It's only in my eyes that I think that I'm friendly.
Con.
So in all of it, listen, but we're getting down to keep showing one thing. Man, this is important to the Father. And this is one thing that if we don't correct, you can't make it to the kingdom without this.
I got to be one more if I can.
Please.
Can I know you're James, by the way. Let me give one more. Just point out, I promise, I'm until you need me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith.
Right.
We know that the fruit of a tree is the action. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So
yes. You
know you're being friendly. You know you're really in the Spirit. You know you're really following Christ. It says the fruit of the action, the reward of the Spirit. When you're really in the Spirit, there should be people loving you more.
Yes.
There should be more joy, people having joy being around you more. There
right.
should be more peace around you more.
Right.
There should be more long-suffering around you more. There should be more gentleness around you more. There should be more goodness around you more. People have more faith in you if we're really following the Spirit of what Christ said and what the Scripture is telling us about the greatest of all the commandments, love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and to love your neighbors, you love yourself. Why is somebody going to fight with you that's loving you? Why is somebody going to argue with you if you're showing them goodness? Why is somebody going to contend with you if you're being gentle?
Yeah.
Why is somebody not going to be long-suffering with you if you're being long-suffering with them?
Yeah, man. That's the truth. That's how you know a person is not walking. All these keys that he's bringing out is how you know that you're walking in the Spirit. And you've been in the book. That you're in the Word. Because the more you're in the Bible, these are the things that are supposed to be developing in you. But when you're in the world, You can tell a man who's been in the world because the complete opposite is developed in them. Hatred, malice, you know what I'm saying? Maliciousness, uncleanness, wrath, all that is in that person is because I'm not allowing the Bible to create this in me. When he's talking about creating a new spirit in me, this is the new he's talking about. It's all the good things that are supposed to be created in you. Where we at? Where's that? For the, go to Romans real quick now. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. Right?
I'm putting myself on mute, bro. But I'm here. I'm right here with you.
Oh, water, man. I'm glad you stepped in. Romans 13 okay. and verse 9.
Romans 13 and 9.
Romans chapter 13, verse 9.
Start at verse 8.
Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Oh, no, man.
Yep. Start there.
Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Oh, no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
He said, for he that does what?
Loveth one another hath fulfilled the law.
But he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Because that is a part of the law that we keep going into. But the most of the show, I like the report, he said, oh, no man anything but to love him. The only thing I owe you, Ike, is my love. That's what I'm supposed to owe. My love to you, Ike. I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to be there for you. That's what the Most High is looking at in this. Did we love each other? Because then you understand what it means to be an Israelite. You really fulfill the law. Everything I wrote in the Old Testament was based on this, that y'all would learn to love each other, be there for each other, take care of each other. But for some reason, everything is made more important than how we feel about each other, how we interact with each other, how we deal with each other. And I can sit here and kind of call myself a righteous man and then have no love in my heart for the next man, for my brother, for my people, for Israel. Read verse 9.
For this thou shalt not commit adultery.
Think about this. Why will you not commit adultery?
Because
you're trying to love him. So if you don't have no love, of course I'm going to commit adultery because I ain't got no love for you. That's why I said the world we live in is built on all the things that we do to hurt each other because there's no love in this world. There would be adultery if the love was there. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Because I love your brother, that's why I'm not committing adultery. For it says, thou shalt not, for this, thou shalt not kill. For this, thou shalt not steal. For this, thou shalt not bear false witness. Because the one thing that was developed first was the love. So the more we love each other, I'm not going to do ill to you because I love you. But we have not mastered this yet. We had learned to love each other so that now I'm going to look out for your best interests. I'm going to do you right because I've learned to love you. For this, thou shalt not bear false witness. For this, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, read on about you. It is what?
It is. Okay, so I'm going to start from the top.
Please.
Verse 9. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Right. He's trying to explain out of every commandment, that is the sole reason why you didn't break the law, because the love we have for each other. But if that is the thing that's not promoted, if that's the thing that's not pushed, if that's the thing that's not respected, the relationship, the love we have for each other, all we're going to keep doing is sinning against each other. Because I have not made you valuable. I have not made you the priority. I have not made you valuable. I haven't made you, I haven't put you above me. So I steal from you because you, I look at you as less important. I covet your wife because I commit adultery because I think you're less important. I don't, I can do whatever I want to do because you are less important. Read the next verse.
Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
So
therefore,
read.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
So if y'all, if you put that together and look, the only way you can keep the law of the Most High, you got to have that love for your brother. You have to have that, that love for Israel in your heart. But that's the only way you'll keep that. They're the motivation that we keep, that we're supposed to have to keep the law. They're the ones who are supposed to be keeping the law for. We're supposed to be keeping the law for each other. Because when we don't keep the law, the only person that we, the only person, the only people that we hurt are each other. Y'all understand?
God.
Powerful scripture, man. From there, go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 John 2 and 7 through 11.
First John chapter 2 and verse 7.
You say 2 11? 2 and 7.
2 and 7.
2 and 11.
Okay.
1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
Shall I read that again? Read that again from the top.
1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
So you're going to ask yourself this, why would he have to say that? Because even from the beginning, it's still been the same thing, same pattern. Israel still sins because love is the thing that's not being promoted. Love is not developed. Relationships aren't respected. Friendships and relationships aren't respected. So if I respect a friend, if I have a bond with you, I'm not looking to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? No. But even from the time of Cain, from brotherhood, from the beginning, Cain and Abel, that's the one thing they didn't learn to do. I didn't learn to love my brother, so I killed him. All the way through, all we've heard is the wars and all the things that we've done. I didn't consider, but I was sinning. If I was a king or an elder and I sinned, I was a priest and I sinned. I sinned because I didn't care. But that spirit of love was never in me. I had love for power. I had love for money. I had love for whatever. There wasn't enough love for that person or consideration or the act of not wanting to hurt this man or this woman because I loved him. That's not been there. That's not what's taught. But I'm not talking about being taught like a brother sat in the Bible and taught me the Bible. We live in a world and a society that's not built on love. It's built on opportunity. It's built on other people suffering. It's built on murder, rape. Every bad thing you can think of, that's what this is built on. That's why the Most High is trying to destroy the place. This place gonna burn because all we've learned to do here is hurt and destroy each other. That's all we learned to do. And then now we done got so good, we can now hurt and destroy, not have a relationship, and justify it. Because it's that person's fault. That person don't say the Christ came the same way. This person don't know the truth. He should be acting this way. What are you talking about? She's supposed to be in class with me. What are you talking about? We never learn to love, even the people that are in class with us or people that do with me every day. I still don't talk to them with kindness. I don't learn to befriend them. This all the father's looking at and saying, you know what? We never learned. This ain't a new commandment. This is all throughout the Bible he's been saying it. All the way to the end, he's simply saying what? If you're going to be saved, I'm going to save you because the friendships that you had, you kept them. You didn't fight. You didn't become enemies. You stayed friends. So I can, you know what's crazy? It's like us standing before the Father together. Okay, you kept the high holy days. Where are your friends at? Okay, you kept your, you did the Sabbath day. Where are your friends at? I want to see the relationships. Say, walk up to a neighborhood, and I've seen a whole bunch of neighbors that love one another. Because that is what he's looking for.
Right.
Read on. Where y'all at?
Verse 8.
Yeah.
Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth.
Brother, I got to keep bringing the commandment up. Because the Father's like, man, we're in that time. We're in a time where there's nothing stopping us from loving each other. The more and more that we learn that we're Israelites and that we're here to serve the Most High and we know what pleases him, we know what's beautiful in his eyes, we're standing here in the light. We're standing here in the truth. So I know I'm not in darkness. I know what pleases the Father. Now, if I choose not to do it, because there's no light in me, because there's no good in me. Read it again.
Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth.
Read on.
He that saith, he is in the light.
Hold on. He that saith, he's where? Read that again. Read 9 again, Sarge.
He that saith, he is in the light.
Stop. Change the word light to the truth. He that saith, he's where?
In the truth.
Uh-huh.
And hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now.
He said, if you sit and say, you in the light, or you in the truth, but you hate your brother, but I got bitterness in my heart, or I got, I have a problem with another man, or another brother, and you hate your brother, the most you say, you in the world. You're still in darkness, man. You're in the world now. You just got a Hebrew name. You're in the world now. You just put on some fringes and let your hair grow. You don't have a clue what this is about. It's about the relationships and not me choosing who I'm going to have a relationship with. Or I'm going to respect the person that sees things the way I see it. I'm going to buddy up with who's going to give me those little kudos. Or you know what? We're going to have dinner together. This is my neighbor because we have our dinners together. The most say, you're still in darkness. You don't get it. deal in the world? You and Jake, that's got a Hebrew name and a beard, or you put a dress on as a Phrygian. Read on.
In verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him.
He said, if he that loveth his brother, he abideth in the truth, man. I understand the truth. That was really in the truth. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I'm not going to break the law. Why? Because I love him enough not to hurt him.
God.
I love him enough not to offend him. Like, there's no way I can stumble because I'm not going to hurt somebody that I love. But if I ain't learned to love you, of course I'm going to stumble. Of course I'm going to offend.
I got your back, bro. I got your back.
Okay, read 11, then push up and come in.
Verse 11.
Read 11.
But he that hateth his brother is in darkness.
He's in the world, man. He said, he that hateth his brother, he's still in the world. He's stumbling. He's breaking laws. He just got a beard and a Hebrew name, or she got a skirt on. Because you have not yet understood what this truth was really about. It's not playing dress up. It's learning to love. It's building that love for your people, for your brother, for your sister. So you know you really love them because you don't hurt the ones that you love. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. Read.
And walketh in darkness. And knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
Come on in, Mashallah.
Okay, several scriptures. All right, I'm gonna read them. I'm gonna go kind of quick. Go on to Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 37. And I'm gonna read verses 19 through 21, and then I'm gonna jump. Okay, so you bear with me, please. So Ecclesiasticus chapter 37, verse 19 through 21. I got it. It says, there is one that is wise and teaches many, and yet is unprofitable to himself. Without the love, you can be spitting all the wisdom and all the scriptures or whatever that you want, but you're unprofitable to yourself. You still can't win nobody because you're not building friendships. This person is not building friendships, but they want to be counted wise. Verse 20 says, "There is one that showeth wisdom in words, and is hated. Why is this man showing wisdom in words and hated? You're doing everything without love. You're still in darkness. You don't get that it's about the relationships. You think it's about you just covering you, and justifying you why you're on point, why you're good, and why everybody else is just evil." Everybody, you're the victim, and everybody's just attacking you. So there is one that showeth wisdom in words and is hated. He should be destitute of all food. Why are you lacking? Okay. Why does it seem like there's nobody there for you? Because you don't miss the boat. You think it's about, because I speak scriptures, I justify how I keep the high holidays, I keep the Sabbath, I wear fringes. You think it's about that, but you forgot it's about the relationships. Or you never learned it. Verse 21, it says, for grace is given him from the Lord. I'm going to read that part again. For grace is not given him from the Lord. This man is spitting all types of scriptures, spitting all types of wisdom, but the one thing he has not gotten from the Most High is how to be graceful, how to be friendly. That this was about the relationships, not about how many scriptures you spent, not about how many Sabbaths you kept, not about how many high holidays you kept. You have no grace from the Most High. It says because he is deprived of all wisdom. You ain't got none of the wisdom of the Most High. This person doesn't get it. It's about the relationships. Now, why is this? Now I'm going to jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. So first it comes into the knowledge of finding out we Israel, and you find out about Christmas is evil, you find out Halloween is evil, birthdays are evil, you find out about New Year's ain't New Year's, and you come out and you gain all this knowledge. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. A person, because they're not getting this, they'll let that knowledge puff them up, like now they're on some level. Now they're an automatic teacher. That they just got all the wisdom of the Most High, and they just got it. But it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. What's going to give people edification what the Most High wants? Charity. The relationships you build with a person, that's what's going to give them edification. The Most High's edification. The Most High's grace. Not the fact, and I'm speaking for myself. I'm the first one, I'm pointing to myself, that just because I can spit a lot of scriptures, but if I haven't built relationships for all the scriptures I can spit, just like the scripture we just read, there is one that is wise. No, I'm sorry. There is one that shows wisdom in words and is hated. I can pull scriptures all day long and be hated because it's not coming from a place of charity. It ain't coming from a place of love. It's not coming from a place of that I'm working on the relationship with a person. I'm thinking that because I spit scriptures, I'm good. And if they reject the scriptures, they reject Christ, that and it's got nothing to do with me. That's a total lie. It is about relationships. So it says that edify it. The relationships you build with a person, that's what's going to give them edification. To where they want to find out what you're about. They want to know, hold up, why do you operate this way? Why are you so forgiving? Why do people like being around you? Why do I feel this joy when I come around you? All the fruits of the Spirit. Now the door is open. I can give you a scripture that you're going to be able to receive. You're going to see from my actions that you want to be around. You want to come around. It's not going to be because I spit scriptures all the time. Now I'm going to jump one more back, I'm giving back. 1 Corinthians 7, 13, verse 1. Now I'm jumping to 1 Corinthians 7, 13, verse 1. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I can have all the prophecies, speak all the Hebrews, but if I don't have charity, even according to scripture, I'm making a lot of noise. Now, the second definition of charity from 1 Corinthians 18:28, I'm going to read that one. This is the second definition of charity from Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says, in a more particular sense, love, kindness, affection, tenderness, springing from natural relations as the charities of a father, son, and brother. So if I don't have this love, kindness, affection, springing from a natural relations, from the relationships, all the scriptures I spit, I'm just making a lot of noise. I'm not saying nothing that anybody can hear or understand. I wind up making myself more hated. Verse 2, go back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I can break down every chapter of Revelations. I can break down every chapter of Daniel. I can break down every chapter of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Genesis. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. This is what Paul understood. That if it's not about our relationships, it really don't matter. Now, my last verse, and then I'm going to give it back. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. I'm going to jump back there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. It says, I'm going to read 1 and 2. So now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. The relationship I built with somebody, that's what will give edification. Verse 2. And if a man think himself to be, if a man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. You can think because you got a little bit of knowledge about Christmas is off, Sunday worship is off, Easter's off, Valentine's Day is off. If any man thinks that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. If you don't know how to build a relationship with someone, if you understand that this is about our relationships with one another, that all the law hangs on these two commandments, love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, you know nothing as you ought to.
So
you're not
on
the level
you ain't learning nothing.
And
you're
verse
not
three,
as wise as you think you are.
You're not as wise as you think you are. Verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you love the Most High, what the Most High loves, the nation of Israel, so the Most High is long-suffering, forbearing, taking low, to save somebody else, to give Israel a chance to be able to come back. Now the Most High knows you. But just because you put on fringes, you keep the Sabbath, you don't buy and sell on the Sabbath, you don't cook on the Sabbath, that's only for you. How is that helping anybody else?
Yeah, man.
How's that showing love or charity to anybody else? It's not. I'm putting myself back on mute.
1 John 3:10. Like what Bishop said. Read 1 John 3:10 to add right in. I'm not even going to. We're going to read because it's going. You already broke it down. 1 John 3:10. Read that.
1 John 3:10. In this, the children of the Most High are manifest. And the children
everything Masaba just said, everything Masaba just said, sorry, he said, everything he said is how you know that you are truly a child of the Most High. You know you're truly an Israelite. It's based on, and we'll keep reading, but he's telling you what everything he said is how the Most High gauges that these are truly my children. Read that again.
In this, the children of the Most High are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteous, is not of the Most High.
Read.
He that loveth not his brother.
So if I don't love my brother, if I'm not doing right and I don't love my brother, he said, you're not a child. You're a child of the devil. You are a product of your society. You are a product of the world. You're not a child of the Most High, because those are the two things he was gauging. Are you living righteously, and do you love your brother? Verse 11.
For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore?
Not as Cain, who was what?
Say it again.
Read 12 again.
Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteousness.
Because he was jealous, envious, right? But that's how you know the one thing that never grew in Cain and Abel was love. Just like we watch today, the one thing in Israel that don't grow is love for one another. If we attack it and put each other down, love ain't growing. If I only listen to me and I'm right, love ain't growing. If I'm caught up on my gifts and what I think is wise, but ain't nobody around me, people don't love me. They with me because they think, hey, you know what? I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to be out of order at the Most High if I'm not here. Not out of love. It's more out of I'm with you because of respect. Rather than I'm here because I love you. But that love is growing is the thing that the Most High is gauging to be able to show, okay, yeah, that is my son. That is one of my children. Because that's the one thing they learned from the law was how to love each other. Read on. What verse do you have?
Verse 14. Marvel
jump down
not.
To 14 now. Jump down to 14.
Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
So we still live in...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So we know that we're still in the world because that love ain't grown. We still know that we're carnal and we're just a product of the world, because the one thing that wasn't grown or the one thing that hasn't been shown is how for the love to grow in me. But when I'm reading the Bible and I'm in the book, that's the one thing the Most High is going to develop, that spirit of love. The spirit of love for your love, compassion, mercy, consideration for the next man, that's going to grow in you, because that's what the Bible truly promotes. When you ain't been in it, or you reading it all under the wrong pretenses, the wrong context, you're trying to prove how wise you are rather than how I can help you. I don't study the Bible so that I can help someone solve their problems. I study the Bible so I can prove them wrong. Love will never grow in you. Christ came on earth and it was about helping. I already knew they was wrong. I taught them in parables because I knew they was wrong. The message he wanted to leave is, I helped. I healed.
Even on the cross.
The message from the beginning.
Even on the cross, when he was bleeding, Israel was mocking him, making fun of him, talking cash. They were slandering his name. They were lying on him to where he's literally bleeding to death. His last words were still what? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's where you know you're growing in the truth. When you can be offended. Again, they lied on Christ. Christ wasn't sitting there telling the Most High, he's on the cross, this is bullshit. They're lying on me. They're slandering on me. They're trying to tarnish my name.
Right.
Christ didn't take that stance.
Nope.
Christ said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's somebody growing in Christ. Oh. Somebody still in the world is going to be trying to justify, you got the wrong guy. It's not me. All I did was good. Why are you doing this to me? This is wrong. This is off. You need to be God. What about what you did? How about when you did this? How about you did that? Yeah. They did this. They did that over there. Why me? I ain't did nothing wrong. Why me? Why me? Why me? This is wrong. This is off. A person that mindset, you ain't learned Christ this whole time.
That's it.
You ain't learned the scriptures this whole time. You ain't learned real wisdom this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't been studying. But I got to bring one in behind what you're saying. I got you. I'm going to give it back to you. This is 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to start at verse 6. I think I start at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, I speak to your shame. Now, this is to our shame, not our glory. Oh, man, you got your fringes on? Good job. Oh, man, you keep that hold? Oh, great job. He says, I'm speaking this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that's able to judge between his brethren. He said, y'all think y'all got all this wisdom? But let me show y'all something. Verse 6. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. You got Israelites that will try and go tit for tat, trying to prove somebody else wrong, and then they'll do this shit in front of the unbelievers. They'll do this with people who don't even believe in the Bible, but you're trying to prove how you're right, but somebody else is wrong. And you'll do this in front of people who don't even know the Bible. And you think you're wise? Verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to the law one with another. What did I do wrong? I did this right. How about when he did this? I be doing all this stuff right. How about when they do this? How come ain't nobody them? How come this ain't happening? Why is it on me? It says, because you go to the law one with another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Why can't you have, if you're about winning somebody, why can't you take low? Why is not you got to pound your chest like a damn gorilla like a beast to prove you're right. You think the more louder you get, the more angry you get, the more offended you get, you're going to just prove you're like a beast. That ain't the wisdom of the Most High in Christ.
Verse 8.
Now ye do wrong and defraud ye that your brother. You ain't trying to win your brother. You're trying to prove you're right.
Right. That's it. You're pushing him away.
Yep. Where did Christ do that? When they accused Christ, Christ said what? Thou sayest.
Mm-hmm.
When they lied on Christ, Christ didn't open his mouth one time to say, no, that's wrong. That's a lie. No, that's all. I got something right there. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. You're wrong for trying to put that against me. I would love for somebody to show me the scripture where Christ did that. Because that's not what Christ did.
Right.
I'm going to give it back to you, Bonobo. I'm giving it back.
Go to 1 John. That was in 1 John, right? 3:16. Yeah, right? So he's right on point. I'm like, I'm just reading. Because we're giving them a good understanding of what it truly means to be in the truth. And not this false idea, because I put on fringes, or because I was able to get loud for somebody. I really didn't have to build a relationship. I was just able to either out-talk, over-talk, or I can prove them to be wrong. I can't win them, but I can prove where he's wrong. I can prove that he false accused me. And I like what you put there. I put a whole class together on bearing false witness. And the class was about the fact that you bear false witness, but how do you deal with the false witness? You can read the story of Susanna. She had somebody bear false witness. How did she deal? She never even spoke. The Most High had somebody else come and defend. Christ didn't say nothing. I went on to the cross. It was the will of the Father anyway. Christ told them that he was betrayed. He took bread. He broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do to remember me. So it's always about still giving myself, even if I don't like how I was being dealt with, I still gave. Because that was the example of Christ. Now read 1 John 3:16 now.
1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the Lord of the Most High, we the love of the Most High, because he laid down his life for us.
Like Christ didn't lay down his life for us. Read.
And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
I'm supposed to lay down my life, my will, my ideas, my thoughts, my feelings. I got to lay all that down for the brothers. I got offended. I'm supposed to lay it down for the brethren. I'm going to lay that down so I can win this brother. I'm going to put my engines, my feelings and all this aside so I can win the brother.
Real quick, yep. My phone's about to die.
My phone's there right here.
Call it on your phone.
I'll call.
Call my phone on a. Who's that? Who's got a good phone?
I'll call from my phone again.
Okay. Okay. We're good. Call it in. Y'all there?
John.
Okay. So read that again.
1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of the Most High, because he laid down his life for us.
Can I ask you? Let me say this, Sean. I'm going to cut you off. I want to say this, y'all. As we go in these classes, we really want you guys to understand the will of the Father. One thing we'll give our mind to
a lot of brothers have messed up, given their mind to, instead of learning the will of the Father and making adjustments, they'll be listening to the scripture and going through the class, but thinking about how to break this down and use it on someone else. Rather than your greatest teacher is the changes that you make as a person. When you become that righteous man, you give something that somebody can follow. We have learned too much to do a whole lot of talking and no changing. And then call, and I like the scriptures that Messiah pulled about, that Ecclesiastes 7:30, about the wisdom. And I'm also like, you lack it all. You lack so much. The Most High blessing, because it wasn't about what you knew. It was about the changes that you made. Because if you know it, then you're expected to change because you know. It's more expectation for you to now be an example and live this way than just reading about somebody else living this way. And then you go back to doing the same damn thing you was doing before because you're not changing.
It's like how, people say, practice what you preach. Cause
that's it.
I could be like a drug addict or something like that. And I go to a group of kids and be like, don't do drugs. But they're looking at my life where I'm thinking like, oh, because I'm trying to tell them not to go down this path, I'm trying to help them. But they're like, how are you going to tell us? The first thing someone's going to tell you like that, especially in the world, is like, why don't you take your own advice? Or you try to tell someone to do something to better their life, but now they're looking at you, and you're not doing that. The same thing, your life is like down the drain. They're going, well, why don't you take your own advice? Why don't you practice what you preach? If you're going to tell me to do this, and I'm trying to see why I should do this, because if that's what's going to help me through whatever I'm going through, then I should be seeing an example of what it can do. If you're trying to tell a person to be following these scriptures, then for you to follow the scriptures and for you to have the blessings of the Most High on your side to be, you know, be protected through a lot of the stuff that we do go through, like in our day-to-day lives. If the guy's seeing that, then all of a sudden, yeah, he's going to want to jump in. He's going to want to learn. He's going to want to get the same knowledge that we got because he's seeing it. If you're telling him all the good stuff about the Bible and everything, how to follow the Most High, but like if behind closed doors, this is what's happening, and he's seeing you do this, he's seeing you do that, or she's seeing you do this, she's seeing you do that, ain't nobody, they're not going to follow you. They're going to look at you like, well, dude, how you going to tell me to do this? You don't want to do this, or... You know that I mean. It sounds good. It sounds good, but the proof is in the product.
They call it a hypocrite. And in the spirit, the Most I don't honor it, because if I'm saying one thing but I'm not doing it, no matter what, who, if somebody else see it or not, the Father's eyes, his eyes are 10 times brighter than the Son. And when you think you're not seen, people can see, they see it on you. That you know the one thing they don't see?
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the spirit of love that's growing in you, because that's what the Bible's supposed to be developing. Your vows of compassion, your mercy, all these different things are supposed to grow in you, and you can tell that a person don't follow what they teach because this ain't growing in them. Watch, read 16. Read verse 16.
Hereby perceive we the love of the Most High, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Go ahead.
But whoso hath the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his own bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of the Most High in, sorry, how dwelleth the love of the Most High in him? Question.
So the Most High is showing you how we lay down our life. You lay down your life. You don't have to, his expectation of us laying down our life wasn't to put a gun to your head. I jump in front of a bullet. No. When I can be the example for you, I'm going to be the example for you. When I have the things that you need, I'm going to look out and make sure that you are taken care of like my family is taken care of. I'm going to get up every day and do the right things for you. I'm not going to do the right. I'm going to act right and do certain things because I'm looking for myself to get blessed. You are the blessing. And me doing it for you, that's the blessing of the Most High. That is how, that is when the Most High knows that the love of him is in you. How dwelleth the love of the Most High in him? The Most High know this person loved me because look at how they deal with everyone else. Look how he treated his brother. His brother needed a ride. I gave him a ride because I loved him. But that's how those are the things the Most High is gauging to see that you truly have love for the Most High by what you do for the people around you. Verse 18.
My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
So the Most High is looking at. The Most High said, you say you love me, but when this person needed, when you weren't there, you don't love me. You say you love me, but when this person, you offended this person, you don't love me. You say you love me, but as you have this, and if you think this is an example to get the next person, some inspiration to get the next person, whatever I got this person need, and I gave it to help, these are the deeds that I can show the Most High that I truly love him. Verse 19.
And hereby we know that we are of the truth. We are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him.
Damn, this is the only way the Most High really know you in this truth is going to be based on this. This is the gauge that the Most High use to determine if you are really in this truth and that your heart is before about the Most High. Your mind is really about the Most High. This is what he's using.
I got you on one. When you're ready.
I'm ready, brother. Go ahead.
Now I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. And I got it. I'll read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And this goes back to, again, all the law being contained in two scriptures, the royal law. Love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. The relationships that we build for one another. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So just because, again, you're keeping the law, the Sabbath, the fringes, the high holidays, if you don't have charity, you're not edifying nobody about what the true will of the Most High is, about how to forgive, how to love, how to endure, how to give somebody else the benefit of the doubt, how to take low that you might be able to win them, that you don't feel like, damn, he's getting over on me. He's winning because I can't let him feel like I'm a fool. I can't let him feel that he's the boss of me. I got to prove that I'm the man. You don't understand the will of Christ in the Most High. Verse 24, it says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's will. This truth, this light, this the wisdom and also understanding of the Most High, this ain't about you. It's about what you get out of it. But it's how much are you helping the next man, the next family, the next person? How much are you helping them? So now it says, let your light so shine that men may glorify the Most High, that I can take low to build you up. If I actually can apologize, even though I might technically not be wrong, but I can apologize so now I can win you. Then I can do it because you know what? This is what Christ did. This is what the Most High did. This ain't about I got to make sure me and mine
and my family are coming up at the risk of anybody else, to damage anybody else, because I can't let them think they're getting over on me. I ain't no punk. I ain't no bitch. I ain't no whatever. I got to let them know who I am. Then if that's the case, people are not being edified in the wisdom and understanding of the Most High in Christ. They're being edified in your precepts. And the only ones benefiting, yeah, you have people in the world that take that mentality. They only look out for themselves, drug dealers. If we take it to extreme, drug dealers will destroy their own people so they come up. These rap dudes, talking about selling drugs, getting tattoos, doing all this crazy stuff, so they come up at the expense of their own people. The Nicki Minaj's, the Cardi B's, the Megan Thee Stallion's, that they could be the most sluttiest sluts, the Diana Ross's, the Beyonce's, the Lauryn Hill's. We can go all the way back if we need to. That they'll go ahead and present that image to destroy their people so that they come up. But that's not helping to edify the Most High in Christ, to edify the wisdom that the Bible truly gives. That's not what this is about. If you take low in the wisdom and understanding of what the Most High really wants in order to win your people, in order to help your people. So now they want to be about the Most High. They want to follow the Most High. They want to get the Most High the credit. Or is it all about making sure everybody knows what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, and how well your family's doing, or how well you're doing at the expense of everybody else? There's enough examples of that in the world. Donald Trump made his billions how? His billions how? I'm a slum owner of slums in Harlem, and was robbing people to live in straight. I mean, slum. I mean, look like Beirut. Like war-torn areas of dilapidated, condemned-ass buildings, and was charging crazy-ass rent and getting paid off of it. That's how Donald Trump's father first got his money. Not giving a damn about people. Only that the Trump family came up. Only that the Trump name was good. Mm-hmm. At the expense of everybody else. So somehow, now, so Donald Trump is a man of God? Hell no. Yeah. But if we're going to follow his same example, but not just have a Hebrew name, somehow that's going to get you in the kingdom? Because so all Donald Trump would need now is to get a Hebrew name, now he can go to the kingdom. Because that's the difference, right? I have a Hebrew name, that's why I'm different. He don't have a Hebrew name, so that's why he's going to hell. Get out of here, man. That was it for me, by the way. That was it.
Go to 1 Peter 2 and 9. Forgive me. Who's all there? Who's all there?
What's up?
Who's all there?
Me and Abaja, I believe, Charlene Gresham or something.
Is me okay. And Abaja. Is you Abaja and Char?
Not sure
at
the moment. It's me.
Sure, I went to the bathroom.
Okay. Ahmad, you read this, Ahmad.
Yeah.
Can you read that? Please. 1 Peter 2 and 9.
Got it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Yep.
Fuck it. This is acting up on me. Come on. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Here we go. It reads, but ye are chosen, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
So the Most High is showing us what he's given us. We are those chosen people. We are the ones that we were chosen, and the mercy that was given to us, the love that was shown to us, the world that he took me out of and blessed you in your life, he said, I chose you, and these are all the reasons I did this. I chose you out of all of that so that you would show forth praise of him who have called you out of darkness into the light, so that you can show the power of the Most High. So how do we show praise? Read.
Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of the Most High, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Read.
Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims.
Hold up, I beseech you as what?
As strangers and pilgrims.
We weren't supposed to fit in the world. We wasn't even supposed to be accepted here. We wasn't trying to make this a home. That was never the plan. I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust.
Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul.
He said they war. He said, I was supposed to stay away from this. But the world that we live in is all built on fleshly lust. I was supposed to be in the book because I didn't realize that the shit I'm giving myself to is killing my spirit. Is fighting against my soul. Read.
Verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles.
So what was going to help me? The more I come out of the world, the more I would abstain from fleshly lust, that war against my soul, the more I stood up and I wanted to be the praise of the Most High. My conversation is supposed to be honest among the Gentiles. Say it again.
That makes you not fit in with the Gentiles.
Their conversation is
just the opposite. If you want to feel comfortable and try to blend in, you got to be like them.
But you know what the problem is like? You are more respected because your conversation is honest. Your conversation is righteous. Your conversation is, and you know what the problem is, I'm going to say this to my, a lot of people think that because I quote the Bible or I show somebody in the Bible, that was what was honest. That was the righteous. But if Christ was a friend of publicans and sinners, then he said the right things to get these people to look at him in a honest light. I didn't have to bang and correct them. Can y'all go to any place in the gospel where Christ taught a breakdown or he taught them a class? Or did Christ talk to them in parables? The reason I ask that because if he talks in parables, you know what he was trying to do? It was more about helping them than it was proving them wrong or correcting them. He told the apostles, they asked, why do you speak to them in parables? He says, for y'all to know. Y'all believe. Y'all been with me. I correct y'all. We gonna feed them. We gonna heal them. We gonna show them love. He said, with our conversation, in this scripture, it says, what verse am I?
Verse 12.
Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. I'm not offensive. The scripture said that we're supposed to be blameless and harmless. Right?
Done.
So this is how, if my conversation is honest among the Gentiles, As Keep reading.
God said, verse 12, to having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers.
Whereas they do what?
They speak against you as evildoers.
You mean?
They may, by your good work, which they shall behold, glorify the Most High in the day of visitation.
Wow. So the conversation that he was talking about was in your actions. It just wasn't what you said. It was how you carried yourself. That they, by your good works, which they shall behold, or which they see, they glorify the Most High in the day of visitation. This is always about winning them. They saw my good works. So even if they wanted to speak evil against you as an evildoer, as a nigger, the Most High looked and said, they can say that, but if I did it right, you wouldn't say that against me. And my good works are going to speak for me. Verse 13.
Verse 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
Read.
Whether it be to the king as supreme.
Stop right there. Why would it say submit to every ordinance of man? If these people in the world are looking at me, I'm going to be, my good works are always going to shine. And, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not trying to fight and prove this wrong or that wrong. I don't have to, if you tell me to eat pork, I'm not going to eat pork. But there's going to be a reason why I didn't eat pork. Daniel, when he was put and the order was for him to eat the food of the king, right?
Right.
He even found a way to come in and talk to the brother that was over him and said, man, can I? They were worried about them losing weight, being unhealthy. He said, if you let me eat this way, I promise we'll be good. We'll be healthy. His works always spoke for him, man. Through everything, it was his works that spoke, not his arguments. Christ's works spoke for him, not his arguments. We're looking at this. The one thing that's going to always show and honor the Father is our good works are going to be what speak for us.
Okay.
Now jump down to verse 17.
Verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear the Most High. Honor the King.
He tell you, man, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Read verse 15.
Verse 15. For so is the will of the Most High, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
What puts foolish men to silence?
Good works.
So if
blameless, they can't say that.
They can't say that if I'm doing what's right.
God.
Is it now right in my eyes or right in the Father's eyes?
In the Father's eyes, always.
Now how is a man going to know that I'm not doing right in the Father's eyes?
Because he'll see it. It'll show in your works.
No, you know how he sees that? You know how he's going to see it? Because these other men, because the Bible said, if I am doing what's right, it will silence men.
So you're following the Most High's words and they're working for you.
Then they'll silence those men. But if I'm not doing it, what's letting me know that I'm not doing it? These evil men? Right. These foolish men have something to say about me.
They're still talking shit or whatever.
Say it again.
This is talking about how you keep doing wrong. How you keep doing right. While you're just trying to justify yourself, they're still saying, no, you're wrong.
You're letting me know.
So if you did this, No, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the if you want to, but these are your actions. That's why I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to stop talking about what you keep doing. I'm going to keep bringing up what you keep doing. Because it's not about what you're saying. I'm going to keep talking about what you're doing. So it's not going to pull me to silence.
I don't know. Can you hear him?
Yeah, I heard him. He said exactly. Reverse 16.
16. That's free.
Stop. Stop there. It says, I'm supposed to be doing the will of the Most High as free. Read on.
And not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of the Most High.
He said, I'm not, you know, I lose my liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. I think that these people are supposed to respect me. I think because of who I am, what I know, that we are serving the Most High, I'm supposed to get respected. And then when I am fucking up, it's supposed to be okay for me to fuck up, for me to be malicious, for me to do things wrong, because I can talk my way out of that. That's not a true servant of the Most High. A true servant of the Most High, people are silent because of what you do. You let your work speak for you. You don't have to defend yourself. I'm going to say this, y'all. I haven't went and said, okay, I need to go and have counsel with everybody, and I need to go put these councils together, and I got to have group meetings with all the brothers and the elders so I can explain this and that. That's not a servant of the Most High. A servant of the Most High ain't got to explain nothing. A servant of the Most High has got to now let his works speak for him. If something was foolishness, then let your works silence that foolishness. But don't be a fool and be doing the same dumbass shit, and now they still got things to say about you.
Right.
Because that's not a servant of the Most High.
You're a hypocrite.
You're supposed to be submissive. I'm going to send more, and I'm going to let my works speak for me. That's what this truth is about. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear the Most High. Honor the King. The Most High is trying to show us this is how you're supposed to carry yourself. You win people's love. Christ didn't win Israel's love because of the fact that I'm debating. I was the king of debating with the Pharisees, or I was out correcting them. I was helping them. I let my works speak for me. He let his works speak for him. I saw Peter, they asked Peter, or not Peter, he asked Peter, on whose authority do you teach? When they got the man that Christ healed, on this man's authority, on this man's works, this is why I do what I do. This is the example that I'm following. This man's works is what I'm following. Not what he said. You understand?
What?
From there, go to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9.
Chapter what?
4 and 9.
Chapter 4, and you will start at verse 9.
First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9.
Verse 6.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified.
Now stop right there, Sean. He said that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in no matter. And we use that scripture. We would say, I was defrauded. See, the scripture said, no man was supposed to defraud me. But what the Most High was talking about was, he said, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, I got to understand, I can't go and defraud either. How do we end up defrauding our brother when we know better? We know better. We know the law. But we got to make things fit us as opposed to now I got to take low. Or opposed to now my actions and the things that I do in righteousness will quiet the negative. But I don't want to do it that way. What I want to do is I want to paint this other. This person painted me out to be bad. Now I want to paint them out to be bad. This person said this about me. Now I'm trying to say something to retaliate, to get back at them. Read verse 7.
Verse 7. For the Most High hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Read on.
He therefore that despiseth not man, but the Most High, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
What does the word despise mean?
Means to oppose or to hate.
So he therefore that hates or opposes, hates or opposes not man, but the Most High. See, the reason I'm opposing and I got so much hatred in my heart is because I don't like the fact that the Most High has set things up and it don't go my way. I'm opposing because the shit don't always benefit me. And I still got to be the example. I still got to be about righteousness.
Why can't I take low? How come they can't take low?
Right?
Because we know that Christ also said, if I mention this, Christ said, don't share as much as given, but
you be
quiet.
That's
and
it.
If you know as much and doesn't do according to the Lord's will, it will be with few stripes.
That's
and it. Know as little shall be meet with few stripes. But you got these cats like, no, they're supposed to be doing this, they're doing that. It's revenge. Going to totally against what Christ said.
Right.
I got no. Read on.
Verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of the Most High to love one another.
Because if you were in the Bible and you were putting other people second or first as opposed to yourself, if you really were understanding what this law in the Bible is about, there shouldn't be a class on brotherly love. It'd be naturally there. But I'm not operating off the understanding of the Most High, or I'm not following the will of the Father or his law, the things that he says are important to him, I'm not taking it important. So now guess what we got to come back and do now? We got to have a class. This is important to the Most High. But if you was already studying, you would have not be breaking the law the way you're breaking the law. You would not be having the problems that you're having. If you would allow the thing that the Most High wants to develop in you to develop. Read on.
Real quick, do you mind if I bring out one thing? If
it's, yep.
And it's just about the brotherly love part, but you'll notice that man, say it's you and Uncle Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's you and Uncle Paul, and that's your blood brother that you grew up with from a kid to an adult age, right? Now,
yep.
If he had gotten into a fight, y'all went to a club or some shit, and he got shot at, or he got into a fight or something like that, you would be the first person, being his brother, you'd be the first person to jump in and beat his nigga's ass in a way. Or in the case of, like, Bajan Azan, two brothers that, like, say Azan was going through something, Bajan would be the first person to help him. Just like how, if Bajan was going through something, Azan would be the first person to help him. Or, like, for, like, me and Kaban, like, if I see Kaban struggling with something, I'm going to go help them. As blood brothers coming from the same mother and everything, that is a natural feeling
You've grown up with them. You're automatically going to do that. Now, when it comes to somebody that's, like, not in the world, but somebody in the truth who you're like a cousin or, you know, extending past that family line, or a new brother you have to meet, or somebody from a different camp or something like that, we don't naturally share that same brotherly bond that makes us want to go do that. Because you're right, brotherly love, Most High is putting that in you. Brotherly love is already natural. I would, it can be built, of course, between new people, but you gotta let it be built. Like, if I didn't know Kavan, or in the sense of Izan and Baja, I didn't know them for a while, right? Because we had lived in different houses and everything. Then when Izan moved in, now when Izan's in need, I'm not gonna let Izan go without being in need. Or if now if Baja's struggling with this, I'm not gonna let Baja go without taking care of this for him or taking care of this with him, because that brotherly bond has already been built. If it's for everybody, if it's a new person that's not your blood relative, that didn't come out the same womb, that y'all didn't share the same mother, and y'all didn't grow up in the same household every day, you didn't see each other for plus years like that, this is a new guy. You have to build that brotherly love, because you're not naturally in your own mind. According to the scriptures, you're supposed to have that brotherly love. But in your own mind, when you're thinking, you're not going to be there for that person when they're in need. When it's supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be thinking about them as your brother, because that's the important part. That's all I was bringing out, was we let brotherly love. When talking about brotherly love, the reason why there's not a lot of it is because a lot of people don't feel that natural brotherly love connection with the person in that moment, and that's what's needed. Is you have to feel. You know, I'm saying y'all gotta meet each other, and all of a sudden, like, oh, this is my brother. But I'm saying you gotta let that love. You gotta build that relationship. Because if you don't build it, it's never gonna be there. And then when you don't build it, and it gets tested, That's when that true spirit comes out. That true hatred toward one another comes out, because you didn't build that term of brotherly love. You didn't build that brotherly love. You didn't even try and build a brotherly love. Sometimes people think we're cool, or like, I'll have respect for you. I'll respect you here, and then as soon as it gets to a matter of, well, as soon as like something happens, and that respect is lost, or you see that person's true colors, oh, you know what, that man didn't even give a fuck about me at all. Now you don't, there is no brotherly love. And you can't, it's hard to get that brotherly love back, because you've already got an opinion of this dude. Okay, when the chips are down, I know this guy's not going to have my back. So some people go back into the worldly mentality of, it's all about me, or I'm not going to do it because it's me, or like Uncle Mashaba was saying, because I know better, I'm going to just continue to do what I want to do, and thinking like I'm in the right. But because you're not showing that brotherly love, most times automatically going to say you're in the wrong. That's the love thy neighbor as I love thyself. Love thy neighbor as I love thyself. And you're not loving that dude. You're just worried about you. So he's not going to.
Can I add to that, man? You know, it's crazy. I made me think of you. You said that made me think about this. The Most High was giving us an opportunity. He gives us opportunities to let that brotherly love grow. But you know what the opportunity was? If I use the same example, we're working the trucks together, right? We're on the trucks. We're working the business together. But if all I do is look out for me, like, I look out for me. I only look out for me. So it was like a dolly or tools, or it could be anything. You know, I came to the work site, and when I got there, I made sure I had food. You know what I'm saying? I had my food, but never was I really look out for you, because you're supposed to look out for you. My philosophy is you're looking out for you. And if I try to look out for you, then I'm not going to have this. So say I use example of tools, because tools be the biggest thing, right? We can have our tools on the truck, and I know this guy left the drill, this dude going to do this and that. But every time you went out, to the job, here's my tools, right? Just take them. Because the brotherly love was going to grow in the fact that I looked out for you. It didn't make a difference if you were going to lose it or this was going to happen. The thought was I'm still going to look out for you. But what we didn't do was that. I mean, even would be certain times it'd be like, man, I'm not going on a long trip. What about the other brother that has to go? Well, shit, I ain't going. Because all these things were the opportunities where brotherly love could have grown. But it didn't grow because I was only looking out for myself the whole time. I'm going to make sure I look good. I can't make sure everybody else look good, but I can make sure I look good. You see what I'm saying? So now brotherly love didn't grow, but you need brotherly love because your love, you know what we didn't understand? When brotherly love wasn't growing, neither was mercy from the Most High. Neither was compassion from the Most High. Neither was the Father looking at us and being pleased with our actions and what we're doing. And that is the constant. You got more people that have been in the truth, and I am looking out for myself. I'm sharing my wisdom. I might tell you, hey, man, you should come over here and do this and that. But if you need me, it's not in my nature to now look out for you, because if I look out for you, it's going to cost me a little more. I'm going to have to sacrifice a little more. You may lose it, and now when you lose it, now we both ain't got it. You got to learn to be responsible. All them wrong mind frames, and then the whole time we're not realizing that was an opportunity for me to develop that love for you, the thing that the Most High wanted to grow in the first place. So now when I think I'm wise, the Most High like, but you really didn't understand what this is about. You didn't understand the tests that were there. You didn't understand what I was teaching you. I'm trying to show you in what pleases me.
And it sucks because when we get to that stage, it's like how we were talking about, you're talking about correction. You tell them what was wrong, or you tell them, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and then you leave it alone. But a lot of times in doing that, if you haven't even developed that first connection of brotherly love, it's hard to tell the dude something because, like, even it's hard to even tell a brother like shit, I can't tell Kyle nothing now. I mean, we've been together for years, so for me to kind of tell Kyle something, it's already going to get personal. Or I can't, it's never just, I can just tell him something and I leave it, because when I tell him something, they take that personal, especially with a dude you're just starting to build that relationship with. Though it'll be real personal, and sometimes you don't even mean to make it personal. But right. It'll be personal. Or sometimes you do make it mean. You do mean make it mean. You do want it to mean be personal. And now you just made the whole situation personal. When if you think back on it, it wasn't really that personal. And I'm supposed to be personal. I'm supposed to tell them. I see Baja eating pork. Baja, we're not supposed to eat pork, right? All of a sudden, now if he continued to eat pork, that's not my fault. I told him what it was. I corrected him. I left it alone because at that moment. He knows the scripture. He knows about it now. He knows the Most High is supposed to deal with him at that point. Now I can keep telling him, hey, you know I'm not supposed to see pork. Hey, you know I'm not supposed to see pork. But I never make it personal. I'm just never like, brother, what the fuck? Like, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that shit. You know what the fuck? Like, because then I'm getting mad. And now Baja gets to retort with, did I fucking ask? Did I fucking ask you what I want to do? No, I'm going to eat this because I want it. It's good. But whatever he's got to say to defend himself. But now it just became a battle between two people when what it was just, hey, bro, we don't do this. Take it how you want to take it. We don't do this. Or sometimes it'll be like, I don't do this. Or I'll be doing this. You can if you want to, but you know, that's you. I do this. And a lot of people take that as like advice. Like, okay, especially dudes who are trying to learn, I get what you're saying. I see that if he does it like this,
And this is what he's getting from. We were talking earlier about being that example. I'm seeing that he doesn't eat pork. I'm seeing that he's in Sabbath class. I'm seeing that he's doing his Bible study. I'm seeing that he's studying the Bible every other day, and all this is in his life is transpiring, and he's using it every day, and he is gaining more and more than I am, and I'm not doing it. Maybe I should follow him. But if you're just trying to throw it at him, if you're just trying to like, no, I don't want it. I do it like this. You have to do it like this. No, you got to do it like this. No, do it like this. Now it's just like, well, damn, I'm doing it like this. You're doing it like this. But I'm seeing this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. And the Most High is cursing you here, and the Most High is taking away right here. So why are we still doing it? That's when people start questioning shit. Why are we still doing it? Why are we doing it like this? We can do it like this, and we can get this out of it. Or this is the way I think we should do it, and we can do this. And now your whole whatever you're trying to get has just been disproven, you know. Whereas if you're being an example in the first place, you're being the example. You're building the bond first of all, so that way nothing becomes personal. And you just kind of it's not an attack. It's just you're trying to be loving to that brother in a way where they'll just understand. And then you let them. Receive that love and then offer it back to you. That's the future.
Sean, let me tell you this, man. You know, just look at, you know, where brotherly love is always destroyed when we come from a world where people look out for themselves. So in the world, you step on one man to elevate yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when these guys, like, say you have new guys coming in,
yeah,
they're doing that because they're trying to make themselves look good by stepping on the next guy. If he looks bad, so they make me look better. He's wrong, I'm right. See, that's why you should keep me, because I'm more professional, you know? But what we should have been, if we were promoting, if we were about brotherly love and unity, and looking out for each other, and then out to elevate and build each other, help each other. If that's the spirit that was there and they came into it, then they would have to submit to that spirit. But that ain't been the spirit. The spirit has been everybody kind of have their own thing. They look out for themselves. And now these guys are coming in. They're doing what? I'm looking out for myself. I'm going to look out for myself. How do I do that? Let me finish this. How I look out for myself is I may put something you like to do or something. I'm going to put it down, put you down. I'm going to say all of the negative, all the things to make you doubt. You don't get paid enough. I'm not going to do that over there. I'm not going to let the customers talk to me anyway. You're like, man, where was all this coming from? I'm trying to create that negative in you so that you'll be negative. Now, when you work with the next brother and he's like, hey, let's go up here together, you're like, no, I ain't doing that. Like, why? We've always done this. So you won't even do it with me?
Mm-hmm.
To the point you have to be like, wait a minute.
Let me go.
Yeah, because now I look at my brother negatively because I allowed someone to now promote that. They have some guys that are in that been around, and it's been all business. It ain't been brotherhood. It's been business.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it was time to create brotherhood with brothers, I went home. Now I'm looking for what? Brotherhood. But I didn't create that.
Or even if we take away from a job, think about it in the sense of Israel itself. If you're trying to get someone to understand this point, or especially as teachers who are teaching young men, older men, new guys, whatever it is, you want this person to understand what you're teaching. Now you're not going to get the perfect person in a sense. You're not going to get the perfect guy who's just. You can throw every scripture at him, and he just takes it. He's a blank book, and you get to write whatever you want in him. You're going to get the dudes who have opinions. You're going to get the guys who were in church on Sundays, and their pastor told them this to make them feel good. And now when you tell them this, now they're going to already combat. They're already combat, but what we lose out on is we don't even build a relationship or a bond with this person, or we don't get to give them the scriptures and give them the knowledge in a way where they can digest it. Because, you know, I remember we used to quote scripture a lot about you have to be weaned from the milk. You've got to give them. You can't give a baby steak. They gotta have milk first, and then from there they start to develop. You can't just give someone this and now all of a sudden this is what they have to understand. You got to give it to them in a way where they can understand it, and now the more and more that they understand it, it's easier to correct. Now if you just throwing it at them, they're not gonna get it. And then it is that selfishness, thinking about myself as a teacher. If it's just like, man, I want these guys to understand this, so this camp grows and I look good in this way. Now, when you just throwing it at them, it's like, okay, I'm not getting it. They're not going to get it, but you're going to get a lot of combating. And then all you do when you combat is you just keep throwing it at them, and you just keep telling them, you're going to get it, you're going to understand it. But it's like, and then, you don't ever go, not personally, but you'll never like look at the person too and go person by person and understand, okay, I understand why you don't understand this. Okay, let me teach it to you in this way. I understand, teachers in school do that. They understand that kids learn differently. When you get into a class, they have kids, they ask, do you understand? Or they give you examples. Here's how do y'all get it? If you don't get it, they go to that person one-on-one, explain it to them in a way where they will understand it. We don't do that a lot of times. If it's about me, it's about I want them to get me. But when are we going to get them so they can understand, so that they, when it is about I want them to get me, they've already got you, you know. And I'm only bringing out like that in both senses, because at work, yeah, that's work. But think about it in the scriptures, why Israel really do be opinionated in a way where, or we got these different camps, or there's so much division and separation, because when it's about being unified, and it's about learning together, and it's about trying to be of the same mind, everyone has a different opinion, or stuff that one person learned in one way wasn't how another person learned in one way, but you don't ever connect them. You just branch them off, and now this is how this person is, this is how this person is. This is how this person says Yahweh Shai, this is how this person says Yahweh. You know,
but that's
never case, learned.
You know, the one thing, Shai, you know, the one thing that would never get mistaken is how you live. Meaning, if you see the life of a person, and you see what the Most High says they're supposed to see, conduct that person's life, you're teaching them so much more about the Most High by the way you live. This is about. That's why the Most High keeps stressing deeds. He keeps stressing your actions, because because the more of an example you are, that's what a person's really learning about the Most High. You can say it, but if I don't see it, then you don't even believe what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm reading this, verse 9. For touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, that ye yourselves are taught of the Most High to love one another. So if it's something I already learned, and I learned it because I saw another man's brotherly love. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren. You're supposed to now execute what you've learned towards everybody, all the brothers, everybody you come in contact with, I'm executing that towards them, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more about growing. But we're bringing on numbers because we're using the love that we have for one another. We're looking out for each other. That's how we increase in numbers. We lose in numbers when we make this about the individual. I'm looking out for myself. I'm like Martin Lawrence and Roscoe. He said, I'm on team me.
Mm-hmm.
RJ, you know what I'm saying? It's all about team me.
It's all about me and Khan.
It's all about me.
Family.
So it's me and my family. And you know what's crazy? That's what I've been teaching. So when they get selfish, it's all about them. Well, that's all you showed me. You showed me how to be about team me.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, and then when you're not, when you're excluded from that, that's what you taught. You taught everyone to be an individual, not to unify, not to love each other. I didn't teach love.
And then when you do need somebody, when people do start needing each other, instead of thinking like, you know, I'm going to give to this person because they're in need, I'm going to sacrifice for this person because this is my brother and he's in need. Now it's how the world be thinking, well, what can he do for me? Or like, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you this risk, this wisdom. Now what are you going to give me in return? Or you give a dude gas money. Okay, I expect that gas money back tomorrow. Oh, we got so much fucking, so many people. That's why we have the world thinks like, I'm going to step on someone to get to the top. I'm going to step on so many people to get to the top, or I'm going to hurt this guy to get where I have to go because that's how everybody's going to do me. Oh, I'm in need. You see a man on the street, you know, beggars be getting dollars and five, you know, all this money just sitting in there panhandling, just begging, just like, just needing this money, and everybody would give it to him at the kindness of their heart. Now, when he doesn't get any money that day, now he's mad or whatever it is. But then people also, when they give him the money, they're thinking, okay, I did my good deed for the day. Now, what can I receive? Or, man, you could have one morning you could wake up, have a little bit of money in your pocket, or you've saved up enough money for this one thing you want to go get, and you just need all the good karma that you're going to receive if you give and give. So now a beggar's on the damn street, you give him $5, you just meant $5, now it's, okay, God's going to bless me with this brand-new Ferrari that I've been saving up for, or some shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's always about what kind of, now it's like, instead of just giving to that brother freely when they're in need of it, now it's just, I'm going to give, but I expect this back. Or I'm going to give this, you don't got to pay me back, and now when they're even more in need, well, brother, I gave you this last time and you didn't give me anything back, so I don't want to give you this again. I'm not going to give you this again. You need to figure it out. Now it's just become a whole spirit of being selfish.
Let me read this one to you, man, real quick. I don't better run out of time. Let me read these last scriptures, right? Please ask us 7 and 12, right? I'm going to read it. It says, devise not a lie against thy brother, neither do the like unto thy friend, right? So you know, I'm reading this because we understand we're not supposed to devise a lie against your brother. But if a lie is devised against me, guess what we are? We ain't brothers, because I didn't win that brotherhood, or I didn't build that brotherhood, or I didn't win that friendship. The world is built on lies, devising lies against each other.
Mm-hmm.
A person can come to work late. He's on the job. A person can come to work late in the world, and you can say, man, what you coming for me, man? Just tell him I'm on the way. Shoot, if I want your job, what am I going to do? I'm not, man, I lie.
I'm gonna be truthful with the boss now.
I'm in traffic.
Just cover for me real quick. Just tell him I'm here. Where's Calvin at?
I don't know.
He said he overslept. Or
yeah,
oh,
he should have been here already.
Here.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people just don't be responsible. I'm trying to get your job. But if the scriptures tell me not to lie against a brother or a friend, I have to have won your – I have not to have made us brothers, or I won your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's going to keep you from that.
It's not hard to see what I've noticed in life, it's not hard to see the people that you've won because, and I know you know this, Dad, but like Yaz, when I was in need, Yaz was always there. Like when I was in college down here and everything, when I was in need, I had a dude that I could always depend on. And just like when he was in need, I was always there to to help him. So when I had moved away and everything like that, our bond was still there. So when I came back, it was automatically like, hey, let's hang out. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do this. You can tell when you've won somebody, when you can be in need and they'll be the first person you can, they can be almost like the first person you can call to help you out. Or when they're in need, they're not afraid to do that. What everybody does is they're afraid to ask for anything because they always think that, like I said, they always think there's a price to asking for help. But it shocks people, especially how we do a lot. It shocks somebody when you can give your help freely and not expect anything back. Now, when I do need help, it's there. Mm-hmm. I can always depend on this guy because when I need the help, he's going to be there for me. So then it develops that mentality, and like people, new people from the world, new people at work, it develops that mentality with that person you're building the bond with. When I need this, I can ask him for this. But they do the same thing. Now it's like, you know what? He does that to me. I should be doing the same thing to him. When he's in need of this, I'm going to be there to provide this. I don't care if it's my last dollar, if I got this, because I know that even if it's my last dollar and I go back to being in need, this man is going to come back and give me whatever I need to get by. And I'm going to do the same thing. It's going to be a trade-off every single time because I'm never going to leave my brother without, just like he wouldn't leave me without.
Right. Well, so, hey, with that, it's already 9 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end the class right there, man. It's been 3 hours. We're glad everybody got to join in. The ones that did join, the class was great. I miss y'all dudes up there. You know what I'm saying?
Can you send me a ticket?
we're gonna keep going. This week, we try to get in class. Once you kept working on the soldiers test, for those who are working on it, I'm glad everybody that did join in. You know, hope you enjoyed the class. You know, if you have any questions or anything, our text lines are always open. You know what I'm saying? And we're not going to keep everybody up. We're going to let everybody enjoy and get ready for Monday. And with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.